Hi, I'm Bob Tabor with www.learnvisualstudio.net. Up to now, we've only created apps with a single page, the mainpage.xaml. And while that's fine for simple apps, you might have a use case where you need to add additional pages. And so we'll talk about that in this lesson. So typically, you'd want to load a new page into your app whenever you need new functionality or new layout or new content. So it's possible that you could create a complex app and change out the layout and the functionality all in a single page. But by adding additional pages, it allows you to decompose functionality into smaller, more manageable units. And so this will reduce the complexity of the application's development and its maintenance. So pages in the Universal Windows platform are roughly equivalent to web pages in web development. So as a web developer, you might create several web pages and you create hyperlinks between the pages so that users can navigate in between the pages of the website. So then the end user would load up their frame, their web browser, and would navigate to your home page and then navigate to each of the pages using the hyperlinks. Or they might navigate then at some point using the back and the forward buttons on the toolbar of the frame, their web browser. So in Universal Windows Platform, your pages are hosted in frame objects. That's why I keep using that word instead of the web browser, just to enforce this idea. So in fact, you might not even realize this, but the frame is critical to the application itself. So at the very highest level, as your application starts up, there's an app application object, and then there is a window inside of that. So that will give you all of the Chrome at the very in a Windows desktop version, you know, the X, the minimize and the maximize buttons over here in the upper right hand corner, and the title and things of that nature along that very top bar. Inside of that sits a frame which will host pages. And so as you can see in this new example that I've created, navigation example, I've created it and I've loaded up app.xaml.cs. That's all I've done to it so far. If you take a look down in line number 53, you see kind of where this all gets set up. A lot of hard work is done for you automatically by using this blank template. And so you can see here where we get a reference to the frame inside of the window, and they call it root frame. And then in the root frame, you can navigate to a specific page in your application. In this case, we're navigating to main page. So we give it a type of a data type that we want it to navigate to, and then it creates the instance of that type and will pass in parameters as arguments and things of that nature. All right. So while we're here, I'm actually going to delete this diagnostic thingy. So get rid of that. And at some point later on, we're going to learn about loading new pages into this topmost frame, what's called the root frame. But for getting started, I think it'd be easier to just talk about adding a frame to our mainpage.xaml so that we can load individual pages in and out of that frame that's hosted by mainpage. So in your mind, think of, you've got the app, the window, the frame, the root frame. It loads in mainpage.xaml, which has a frame on it, and then we'll load in page 1, page 2, page 3, page 4. So in that scenario, we're going to delegate the responsibility of hosting other information in main page as well, like the search bar at the top or the split panel down the left-hand side for navigation purposes. All right, so enough theory. Let's go ahead and get started with this. I want to create a new app, and the first thing I'm going to do is add new pages. Let's add 3 new pages. We'll go to the project menu and select add new item. Make sure that you select the blank page template. Don't select XAML view. It has to be blank page template, all right? We'll call this first one page 1. We'll add another one called page 2. And a third one called page 3. All right, and we'll come back to those in just a moment. But those will be the pages that will load in and out of our main pages frame. So let's open up mainpage.xaml. And let's go ahead and lay this out. In fact, I think I'm just going to go ahead and get rid of the I'm going to get rid of the designer completely and just go to completely to XAML view since we have so limited space to work with here. The first thing I'm going to do in the main page.xaml is to add a stack panel in replacing that grid that comes automatically. And inside of that, I want to add another stack panel and a frame. And I'm going to give the frame a name so I can access it programmatically. I'm going to call it my frame. We'll deal with that in just a little bit. This stack panel, I want to make this into a horizontal button bar. So what I'm going to do is just set the orientation equal to horizontal, and I'm going to create three buttons, and I'll set the margin in between them to 20. Whoops, 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 whoops. 0, 0, 20, 0. Right, and copy that and paste that a couple times. I'm going to give this first button a name of home button. I'm going to set the content equal to home, and then I'm going to set a click event equal to a new event handler. Come back to that one in just a moment. Right, this one, we're going to name it back button. We'll set the content equal to back, and then give it a click event called back button click. And then finally, I'm going to create the forward button, set its content equal to forward, and then add a click event handler as well called forward button click. Great. All right, so as our application loads up, as our frame loads, what we want to do is load page one into view automatically. So let's go into the code behind mainpage.xaml.css. And the very first thing that we want to do is in the constructor for the page, I want to access my frame, and I'm going to call its navigate method. So just like we saw in the app.xaml.cs and we navigated to a type of main page, here we're going to navigate to a type of page one, like so. Whoops, let me use the type of operator correctly. There we go. All right. So that should load in page one. While I'm here, I'm going to go ahead and flesh out the home, back, and forward buttons. Now, the home button will be easy. We're just going to, whenever you click it, we're going to go automatically back to page one. So I'll just copy and paste whatever I had in the constructor down here into the home button click event. However, in the back and the forward buttons, what we want to do is work with the history, or rather the backstack of the frame. So the frame will maintain the history of pages that the user navigates through, and it will replay those navigation requests whenever we go back or forward. We have to ask the navigation's backstack, can we go forward? Can we go backward? And if we can, then go ahead and go back or go ahead and go forward, respectively. So we'll do this. If my frame dot can go back, that's true or false. If it's true, then we'll do my frame dot go back. See how easy it is? And we'll do something similar here for forward. So if my frame can go forward, then go forward. All right, so I think that will do it for the moment for the main page. Let me shut that down. And now what I want to do is go to the page one.xaml, and here again, I'm just going to collapse and only look at that view there. All right, I'm going to replace the grid with the stack panel. And then inside of here, I'm going to add a text block. And I'll make the font size kind of large so we can see what we're doing here. And I'll set the text equal to whatever the current page I am on. So page one, like that. And then I'm going to add a hyperlink button. Now I could use any type of control where I can handle event and handle it to tell the frame to navigate to whatever next page that we want to navigate to. I use the hyperlink button because it connotes navigation, just like a web page's hyperlink connotes navigation. And as we'll learn, this navigation, this hyperlink button has a special property that's different from just a button that's been styled up like a hyperlink. It actually has a navigate URI property that'll allow us to navigate out to a website. So actually on this page one, I'll add a second version of the hyperlink button just to demonstrate that. All right, so what was I doing? Oh yeah, let's give it we don't even need to give it a name. Let's give it some text, or actually content. Great. And so we'll say go to page two. And we'll handle the click event like that. And as I promised, let's go ahead and create a second hyperlink button. And this time we'll say go to Microsoft.com. And we'll set the navigate URI equal to http://www.microsoft.com. All right, so that should do it there. Now I'm going to copy these first two controls, the text block and the hyperlink button. I'm going to put that in page two. So let's go ahead and collapse that, get into the XAML view, paste that here, and I'm going to change out this to go to page two. This will be page three. Oh, and we need a stack panel around it, don't we? Great. And then finally, go to page three, collapse that, open up the XAML view, replace the grid with what we have here, and we'll just get rid of this hyperlink button at that point. We won't need it. Call this page three. In fact, what I'm going to do is actually put something else in there soon, but let's just stop right there. Okay, so now let's go ahead and run the application and see what we have so far. Let's see if we can get this to work. If I missed anything, whoops, something failed. What did we miss? Oh, okay, that's easy enough to fix. Let's go to page two, and I'll just go ahead and hit the F12 key on my keyboard. That should work. And hey, while I'm here, let's go ahead and navigate, right? So frame.navigate, and we'll go type of page three, like so. Now you might wonder, why am I referencing frame and not my frame? After all, the frame's name is my frame, right? True. Whenever we call the navigate method and we pass in the type that we want to create a new instance of, that navigate method will create that instance and will kind of act as a factory, in so much that it will set up the instantiation of that object by setting its various properties. One of the properties that it sets for a given page is the frame property and sets it to whatever the parent frame is. So that's how we get a reference to the current frame that we're sitting inside of in order to call its navigate method. Okay. All right. So we did that. Let's see. Did we do that in page one as well? Well, we didn't. So let's just copy this and stick it there. And we'll call it page two. All right. Does that work? Some success. Let me pull this down. Great. All right, so the first thing that I want to do is I'm actually going to click the navigate, the hyperlink button that'll go to Microsoft.com. That opens up my Edge browser, navigates to Microsoft.com. Pretty cool. So that's what the navigate URI does. Next, I'm going to click the go to page two, which goes to page two, and then I'm going to click go to page three. Great. Now I'm going to click the back button and the forward button and then the home button. So you can see we covered all those scenarios. Very cool. So that's the most basic scenario that we can cover. Let's add a wrinkle to this. In page number two, what I'm going to do is add a text box, and I'm going to call that value text box because I'm not feeling very original at the moment. And I think that's all I'm going to do there. Well, we'll set the width because I think it'll be small if I don't. We'll set it to 200 pixels. You probably want to use a relative size if this was a real application, but it's not. It's just a demo, so let's not worry about it too much. And I'm actually going to add that same text box to page 3 right there. Now what I want to do is when I navigate from page 2 to page 3, I want to pass along the value that the user typed in the text box and then display that value in the text box in page 3. How do we do that? Well, it's pretty easy actually. If we take a look at page2.xaml.cs, there is an overloaded version of the navigate method that allows us to pass in anything we want as a parameter that is then retrieved by the other page that we're navigating to. So in this case, we'll just take value textbox.text and we'll pass it over to the other side. Now retrieving it on the other side is a little bit trickier. What we got to do there in the page3.xaml.cs, let's get down to it here. We're going to have to override a certain method on this called the onNavigatedTo, and this event will fire every time that we navigate to a new to the page. All right, and so what we can do inside of here then is to retrieve the value through the navigation event args. So we'll go var value equals e.parameter. And we're going to have to cast this because it comes in as object because it can hold anything. We'll just have to, in this case, cast it to string. You could cast it to a class, anything you want. And then we'll go value textbox.text equals value. That should work. Let's run the application again. All right, and this time let's go to page 2. And here we're just going to type in some junk and go to page 3. And we get that same junk there. Awesome. So what happens when we go back? Wait a second. We've lost our value. Where did it go? Let's go forward. Well, it's still there, but it's not here. What happened? Well, remember what I said. Whenever you're navigating through the backstack, through the history of the frame, it's going to replay the navigation event. In our case, the step of navigating from page 2 to page 3 included some text. So it gets picked up as we replay that event and displayed into that text box. However, when we go back to page 2, when we navigated from page 1 to page 2, we didn't send anything over. It replays that event and there's nothing there as a result of it. Okay, but what if we wanted to kind of maintain state between these pages? Well, actually, that's pretty simple. And there's several different ways we can go about this. Some people might say, hey, don't do this. This is not quite the right way to go about it. They're probably right, but I want to keep this as simple as possible. And as long as you don't do anything abusive to your application, it should be okay for you. Just keep in mind that there's probably more elegant solutions to this than doing what I'm about to do. So since we said that the application sits at the very top of the stack, when you launch an app, there's an application object that hosts a window, that hosts a frame, that hosts main page, right? What we can do is kind of treat this app class, this instance of app, as a global variable. And so we can get to it pretty easily. So inside of the class's definition, here I kind of went to the wrong spot there. Inside of this class's definition, what I'm going to do at the very top of this is actually just paste in this line of code. And here I'm creating a property or just a field called some important value. And I'm making it static of type string and then saying this is internal, which means that anything inside of this app can access that variable, but nothing outside of the application. Okay. So some important value. What we'll do here then in page2.xaml.cs is we're going to set app.someimportantValue equal to the value textbox.text, right? At this point, we really don't even need to pass this into page 4, or page 3 rather, if we didn't want to. But I'm going to go ahead and leave that code there for now. So we've set this and it's storing it, saving in memory. And what I'm going to do is actually go back here to page 3. I'm going to grab this, override, and put it back in page 2. All right. So on page 2 now, we're going to override the onNavigated to. And if our some important value is not an empty string, so if is not had to think about that for a second. If not string is null or empty, and then I'm going to look at the string, then I want to perform the following. I'm going to take whatever was in here and set it there. Let's get rid of that. We don't need that. And we'll take that and we'll put that there. Great. So let's go ahead and run it now. All right, so go page 2. Here we're going to type something in, go to page 3, and now we're going to go back, and we have the value again. So it worked. Very cool. All right, the next thing that I want to demonstrate is how to navigate to a whole different page at the root frame level. And this shouldn't be too difficult. Let's go to our mainpage.xaml.cs, actually to the mainpage.xaml. I'm going to add one more button, and I'm going to call this navigate button and set the content equal to navigate root frame. We'll set the click equal to new event handler, and I don't think I need to set a margin. I think we'll be okay there. So in this, we'll hit F12, we'll get in here. And this time what I want to do is use the, remember we said that page has a frame property? So I'm just going to use the this keyword saying this instance of main page.frame.navigate. And then we're going to say type of page 2, like that. So let's run the application. And you can see that now I've navigated to page 2. As a result of that, I've lost my the Chrome, the outermost stack panel, and I've lost my navigation buttons, okay? So we'd have to figure out how to get those back. And it's not as crucial that we do this for the hamburger-style navigation that we'll utilize in Windows 10 apps. But I did want to demonstrate how to do that nonetheless. All right, the final thing that I want to talk about is what happens whenever we run this on a mobile device. Because the phone has something unique about it that the other form factors, the other device families do not have. You can see that we have this representation of the back button here on the Chrome of our emulator. Actually, now it's inside the emulator visible area there. And let's go to page 2, and we can even type in some junk here and go to page 3, and then we can go back. All right, we can go forward. Now, what if we were to hit this back arrow? What we might want to happen is that we want to go back to page 2, then to page 1, but when I hit the back button, it completely escapes out of our application and goes back to the home page. And unfortunately, how to fix this will require a little bit more explanation. So I want to revisit this topic whenever we talk about working with APIs addressing capabilities that are available to specific device families when using extension SDKs, software development kits. So these extension SDKs, you'll recall from way back in lesson number 3, they allow you to harness features that are available only on that particular device family. So in this case, this device family has, or potentially has, a back button, this little back arrow, and how do we handle it in that case? We're going to come back to this and this same example and implement that and show it running on the phone correctly so that when we hit the back button, it navigates back in our application, not just out of our application completely. We'll show it how to basically support hardware input buttons on the phone. Okay, come back to that later. You're doing great. Let's continue on. We'll see you in the next lesson. Thanks.